Welcome back to a Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein, your host for this Friday. And my first guest has been dragged into the studio here. Not exactly against your will, but you were here sort of at the last minute. We had a last minute cancellation. Thanks so much, Nancy Waterman, for coming in and filling in and talking up to us about this very cool thing that's going to be happening.
Southeast Alaska Land Trust is celebrating 25 years of being in existence, putting conservation easements on property that then is in the public domain for all of us to enjoy.
So let's talk about that
in
just a little
perpetuity.
Bit. Yeah. So how does that all work? How does it work that people, that the Southeast Alaska Land Trust ends up getting these lands and then setting them aside? How does all that come about?
That's right. Generally, it's property owners who have had their property for some period of time and have a vision for the future for how it should be managed. Southeast Alaska Land Trust has fee in lieu money and other donations, sometimes from individuals, sometimes from other sources. And we work cooperatively to put on a conservation easement. We also sometimes purchase properties.
So you have does the land trust sort of have, I'm sure you are very map driven. You have maps and you think about areas that might be of particular interest to have set asides, make contacts with the owners of those lands, but then also people just get to a point where they want to make sure that the land that they've had is protected.
That's right.
Works
and
both ways.
We have criteria that need to be filled, need to be met before we will take on the obligation of conservation easement or purchasing property. So it's a very structured system, and we are an accredited land trust. So we've gone through quite a few steps in order to build trust in the public that we will do a good job now and in perpetuity. That is, stewarding these lands, taking care of them for a very long time.
What are some of the lands that, have either happened recently or that you all are, really excited about?
1995 and a couple of years later was the Jensen Olson Arboretum property just beyond the shrine out the road. And you know that it's very well managed now.
It's beautiful out there.
It's a piece of property that we all go to for information and to recreate. And the second project I would mention is the Mendenhall Refuge. So isostatic rebound is causing our land to rise. And as it does so, adjacent property owners have the right to apply to the state to acquire those properties that are between their property line and the mean high tide line. And they can then be, by the state, given that additional property. So the Seal Trust, the Southeast Alaska Land Trust, is in the process of acquiring those properties by donation or purchase in order that we are able to, in the future, give those properties to the state so that the refuge stays as large as it is. With isostatic rebound, with the land rising, that refuge could
shrink.
And it could become relatively small.
Right.
So that's one of our goals.
Yeah.
And then other properties include a really wonderful area out by Herbert River at the estuary area of Herbert and Eagle River, about 147 acres out there. And then just very recently, we also acquired an area called the Very Berry Berry Wetlands, right adjacent to that, about 70 acres, that an individual gave us a contribution to acquire. And it's just a lovely, large area that will be part of the public domain now forever.
When you when these lands come under your kind of management, are there different things that happen on those lands depending on what the previous owner wants out of them, or is it a set thing? How are those lands managed? Are they managed in different ways depending on where they are?
That's right.
Okay.
So there are conditions that come along with the conservation easement, and those conditions can include a building, a garden, other functions, like Jensen Olsen will in perpetuity be an arboretum. So it can be a variety of conditions that are listed on the conservation easement, and those will be respected. There are opportunities for changing those, but it takes work to do that.
Yeah.
I'll just say it that
way. Okay, so that's the Southeast Alaska Land Trust. That's your mission. That's why you do things like fundraisers. That's why you try to get people to understand what you are as an organization. And so a very cool idea came up, right?
That's right.
To do this thing that's happening on March 28th.
That's right.
Which, for those of us who've lived in town just for a few years, remember so fondly the Fiddlehead restaurant.
That's
right. It was a legendary restaurant over by the Driftwood Lodge in the area where the Sandpiper now is and where Zen is above. And you're going to recreate a typical, wonderful dinner at the Fiddlehead restaurant.
Well, not at the Fiddlehead restaurant.
That's right.
As though you were at the Fiddlehead restaurant.
Right.
So the common thread here is Deborah Marshall, who was a co-owner there at the Fiddlehead restaurant and a very important person to that establishment. She also was a founder of Southeast Alaska Land Trust in 1995. And with enthusiasm, we visited her in Haines, and she said, yes, let's do it.
That's great.
So the other co-founders of SEAL Trust, Southeast Alaska Land Trust, included Bart Watson and Sam Skaggs and Deborah Marshall. Those three knew each other before they all got to Juneau, and they came to Juneau via a couple of them via Fairbanks and Deborah via Anchorage, where she was part of the bread factory. So the Fiddlehead restaurant bread was very important. That included the sunflower millet bread.
Oh, I remember it so well. Yes.
Also their sourdough bread.
Right.
So we'll be seeing and enjoying sunflower millet bread on March 28th, starting at 5:30, Elizabeth Paratovich Hall here in Juneau.
That's awesome. We have the menu in front of us here. So the menu has been gone through, curated, and approved by Deborah.
That's right.
And so she is like saying, well, this is, if I could recreate a beautiful dinner at the Fiddlehead in the peak of its prime, this is what it would be. So, should we go through it?
Yeah.
Let's go through it.
Yeah.
It starts with some hummus, which is a nice way. I always remember getting hummus there. Really nice.
Uh-huh. Crudités.
Crudités and hummus. And then we have, and then I completely remember this soup, the curried cream of carrot soup.
Yes.
Beautiful orange colored, wonderful carrot soup that was really amazing. And then you take the next one.
Oh. So in
we
French.
We were going through the pronunciation of this. I'm going to make Nancy pronounce it.
Salmon Véronique. And the Fiddlehead took the liberty of modifying it. Traditionally, you would use white grapes, but we'll be using red grapes as they did at the Fiddlehead restaurant.
All right. So beautiful salmon dish. Then, as you mentioned, the sunflower millet bread, which is awesome. Then that great salad that they always had, which was the spinach cashew raisin salad.
That's right.
That was always a favorite of mine.
With Fiddlehead vinaigrette.
Yes, right. Yes. Yeah. And then the brown rice salad.
That's right. A lot of people just came to the Fiddlehead for lunch for the brown rice salad.
Yep. Yeah.
Easy to make and delicious. Very satisfying.
And then there's we have Alaskan Brewing Company is contributing some hard cider seltzers and beers. And there's a selection of wines from Can-Ale Distributors. But let's talk about the desserts, because there's so many famous desserts from the Fiddlehead. Of course, the North Douglas chocolate cake is
that's right, Andy.
Has spread so much. But there's how are you going to handle the desserts?
So we have a lot of bakers who are going to prepare cookies like the reality and the fantasy cookies.
Right.
And our desserts are served via a silent auction. It is a fundraiser, after all.
Sure, yeah.
So we have some famous bakers. That includes people like Martha Hopkins, or excuse me, Martha Hobson and Laura Lucas and some other fiddlehead bakers. And also those of us who are on the board will be baking also.
All right. Yeah.
And if you know anybody out there who would like to bake a fiddlehead dessert, the Fiddlehead Cookbook is available, and also we have it at the office. So the Southeast Alaska Land Trust office is in the Valentine Building upstairs. And if you'd like to bake a dessert, just call Amanda, 586-3100, and put your name on the list.
That sounds fun.
We'd appreciate that.
That's a fun way to get involved in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, this menu and then the way to get tickets, you can go to southeastalaskalandtrust.org.
That's correct.
That's how you. That's where you go to find out more about it, to get the tickets and all that. The one thing I guess I would say, this is happening March 28th, about a month from today, almost exactly. I think this is going to sell out. So I think people should probably get tickets now if they're thinking about it, right?
That's a great idea. That's right.
This just feels like one of those things that's going to sell out.
I like that idea.
Yeah. Right.
Hearthside Books also has tickets, too.
Okay, Hearthside Books.
If people are more used to going to the bookstore, drop in at Hearthside Books. And as you say, the website is easy.
Yeah.
And the menu is posted there, too, so I don't have to pronounce the name of the salmon.
Valnahal.
Thank you.
I think that's just butchering it. Sorry. Well, Nancy, thanks so much for jumping in here and telling us about this. It helps us complete our Foodie Friday and talk about food on Friday like we always like to. It's going to be an awesome dinner. And I know you'll be back in the studios as we get closer to talk a little bit more about the dinner as it starts firming up, and encourage people to get tickets to it and to support the work that happens at the Southeast Alaska Land Trust.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.